My thought this morning is the Spirit of Christ. We'll look at the passage in Romans 8. We'll pick it up in the first verse. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." In the beginning of the creation, God made mankind in His likeness. He was made upright. He was made pure. He was made holy. He was made in the image of God. You know, I think about that quite a bit when I think about the world's condition and where man has fallen to, and where he puts his mind and his heart on, when, as we've said before, people stood and cheered a law that was passed that you could abort a baby at 9 months old. When I hear of those things, it makes me sad to think of where we're at and where we could be, where people are at and where they could be. We wasn't created as a brute beast of the field. We were made and created in the image of God. We're not to be on that level, in that kind of thing. And I think of people and think of what they could be versus what they are. But the doctrine of sin goes something like this. Mankind's default system was holiness. He was made in the image of God and holy. But after sin came into mankind, Adam and Eve didn't have any holiness to transmit to their offspring. They only transmitted a fallen nature. And from the time sin entered into the world, man's default system is sinners. It's pretty plain in the Scriptures. Conceived in sin, born in iniquity. Everyone has done, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. We're all born. The default system for every human being, these little ones that are so innocent, it ain't imputed to them. But every one of them is self-centered. Every one of them is touched by sin into a selfish, carnal nature. Now, this has been the struggle, folks. This is the ancient struggle of mankind and God. God, we have to wrestle with this part of us that's called the flesh, that's called carnality. It can't please God. The Scripture's plain about it. There is a nature about us that we flow naturally to. You say something about me and I'll say it back. You hurt me and I'll wait till the day that I can hurt you back. You slight me and I'll slight you somewhere along the line. You swing at me, you got it coming. Hey, it's the natural way we do anything. You do something, I'm going to respond in kind. That is the way we look at everything. We project ourselves that way. What feels good to our flesh, we gravitate to. We hold back on almost nothing in that way. I'm not talking about good saints. I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about humanity. Of all of the things that you and I can pursue as Christians, and we ought to desire as Christians, I want, it was mentioned in Sunday school, Brother Keith mentioned it, about people that, or a person in particular, but people that would, that want to try to prove their Christianity by always mentioning or saying things. You know, I don't believe that you have to carry a billboard around. I don't think you have to put, I'm not saying there's anything wrong if you do put "I love Jesus" on your shirt. But if that's the only way people can tell you're a Christian by reading it on your shirt, you're failing miserably. And there is something more to, there's something more and higher, a higher way than just us washing the outside of the cup. Just us making the show on the outside of it. There's something so much more than that. And this scripture seems to bring this out. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And I want to explain that a little bit because it's been misunderstood a lot as synonymous with the Holy Ghost. But that's not exactly what this scripture is saying. It is synonymous always with the Holy Ghost because the work of the Holy Ghost is to bring the Spirit of Christ into your life. But what this is talking about is the, you ever hear somebody say, well, why do they have such a sweet spirit? There is such a gentleness about them, about a kindness about them. There's a way about them, emotion about them. When I was in high school, we used to have Spirit Day. Anybody in high school ever have a Spirit Day? They called it Spirit Day. And what we did was, I was a Webster County Highlander. And it was always before Homecoming Day. And the whole idea about Spirit Day was to get everybody pumped up. It's about emotion or a direction. It's about an enthusiasm about something. Getting your spirit worked up about the game, about the school, about the importance of it. You have your mind towards it. Spirit Day, they did all these silly little things through the week. Hush Button Day and Crazy Dressing Days and 50s Days or whatever they did. Spirit Week was all this motion to get everybody pumped up to something. You know, Jesus had a spirit about Him. When this talks about, it's talking about a gauge that you and I ought to be able to look at. Do you have the Spirit of Christ? Do you respond to life's challenges the way Jesus responded to life's challenges? Because the terrible idea of this scripture is that if you don't, you don't belong to Him. And that is such a challenge to us. That if my spirit is one that raises up and I throw the hammer, or I come back with a swear, or I curse my neighbor over something, or I come back with a heart full of bitterness or anger, the scripture's declaring that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. So I endeavor to live a holy life, a life that's pure. I endeavor to be modest. I endeavor to present myself right to the world. But if I have not the Spirit of Christ, it don't matter how many times I've visited this chapel. If I don't have the Spirit of Christ, it don't matter how I'm dressed. If I don't have the Spirit of Christ, it doesn't matter what my attendance is or what my work is or what my labor is. If I don't have the Spirit of Christ, I'm none of His. This is what the Holy Ghost is trying to work into our life to make us like our elder brother. He's trying to get us to have what this is talking about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3. How much do we think like Jesus thinks? When it comes to it, what do you do in those moments? I say, not in condemnation, but in challenge today. What is your response to the hardships of life? Jesus showed us His Spirit when He was on the cross. Carnality would have looked down from the cross and said, I hope you all die and go to hell. Right? Carnality would say, if I could, I'd do something. But the great God, our Savior hanging on the cross, not full of carnality, but His Spirit said, Father, forgive them. See, when we was Webster County Highlanders, we was trying to win the game. We was trying to pump up the school. Jesus has a cause. Jesus has a cause that He fought for. Jesus has a cause that He died for. The Spirit that Christ had was one that always was in total relationship with the cause that He had. You can do a lot of things, but is the cause of God in your heart and mind? What was Jesus's number one cause? I'll please my Father. His cause was, I'm going to please my Father and I'm going to die for humanity. The Spirit that He had was always, I say it come off in different ways. There was times that He said, hypocrites, vipers. There was times that He told people exactly where they was at, but His motivation was always for their salvation. Is your cause today always for the salvation of your wife, your husband, your children, your neighbor? Is the reason why you're saying what you... Is the Spirit that's motivating you? Do you have the Spirit of Christ? Because really our highest, most noblest aim as Christians is to make sure that we have the Spirit of Christ. That we answer the way we answer because we have a Spirit of Christ. The reason why we're doing what we're doing, I'm going to tell you right now, your biggest challenge is going to be in the flesh. It's going to be the wrestle between your flesh and the Spirit. That's why the Scripture is determined to tell us you can't please God with the flesh. It's going to have to be destroyed. It's going to have to be replaced by something else. It's going to have to be replaced by this Spirit of Christ. You can't do it by yourself. You can't manufacture it. I cannot, by my own fortitude, change myself until you cause me pain and I love you anyway. You cause me pain in my flesh and I'll cause you pain. And if I ain't got the opportunity to cause you pain, I'll dream about causing you pain. I'll long to cause you pain. I'll sneak and connive to cause you pain, but I'll get back at you somewhere. But there's more than that than just not responding. What's your spirit? What's really... So this isn't just talking about the Holy Ghost here. It's talking about what Jesus was as He represented... As He represented eternal things. He taught us. See, Jesus was more about coming down here. There's a reason why Jesus had to be born in a manger. There's a reason why He came as a child. There's no place in our lives that you can say He don't know what He's talking about. He knows what He's talking about. He lived all the way up through teenagers. Jesus was a teenager. Jesus lived to manhood. He lived to adulthood. He went through the phases. He knows what He's talking about. It was a reason why He had to do that, because as you and I ponder, what does it mean to have the Spirit of Christ? What does it mean? I can look at Jesus' life and tell you what it means to have the Spirit of Christ. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was slandered, he didn't slander back. When he was tortured, he didn't torture back. And did he not say, I could presently call 12 legions of angels? I don't have to be here. But the Spirit that he had, he transmitted that thing. There was a man whose name Stephen, who stood up and preached to his fellows, and he gave them a mouthful. You can read about it over in Acts. He told them good. Scripture said he was full of the Holy Ghost. And they despised him for it. They hated him so much that they got stones and started stoning him to death. And yet, with the Spirit of Christ, he said, Father, don't lay this to their charge. He forgave them before they quit throwing the stones. The Spirit of Christ was in him. I want you to understand this. The Scripture says if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. Folks, this is our number one gauge in Christian life to see where we're at. When we can say, Lord, what has happened to me? I love him anyway. I tell you what, I pray a lot of times. Lord, help me to love them anyway. But I'm saying, Lord, I want to be in that number. I want none of his. Do you know what that's saying? None of his. That means you're not in the family. You're not in the church. You're not there. How can I know? The Scripture says that we know we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. You know what that is? That's a part of the Spirit of Christ. Well, what's this love thing you're talking about? You mean if they love me? No. No. I mean you find value with your fellow man. You see his importance because Christ died for him. So if we have not the Spirit of Christ. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit of life because of righteousness. There's going to be a battle, as I believe, as long as we live in the flesh, there's going to be a battle. Our number one gauge to say where we're at is this gauge of the Spirit of Christ. Our number one, what we should be pursuing in our Christian life, as we endeavor to get deeper in the Lord and deeper in the Lord, it isn't about some outward show. That'll come along. That'll come along, folks. The main thing is that I got the Spirit of Christ. That my direction, what I purpose in my heart, my reasons, my purposes, my motivations, what's motivating you to get on top fleshly? To do anything to succeed financially? No, what motivates me is the Spirit of Christ. I had a friend of mine. He owned a coal mine. He was a coal mine owner. Well, he had several different mines, but we worked for him as a surveyor. I worked for him, got to know him rather well. During the time that I got to know him, he got saved. And I always appreciated that because when I would go there to work, I always liked to see Jesus, okay? And it was nice to have somebody that was zealous about the Lord. And I'd come and he'd want to tell me what the Jesus was doing. And that was always kind of fun for me to go to work, because work wasn't always that way. Work was, you know, some of you brothers work in the coal mines. You know what coal mines are. Sometimes it's not just the best in that way. There was good men. But anyway, he would talk about the Lord. Well, in the process of time, things happened. And he was telling me one time something happened in business, and there was something going on there in business, and I made the comment that Jesus can help you with that. Jesus can help you. And he said, looked at me, he says, Marty, I don't mix my religion and my business. You don't. I'm sorry. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, I'm talking about the Spirit of Christ is something that dwells in you, folks. It's something, it's not like the dwelling, it is what you become. It's what you are in the Spirit. It's what you are in your mind, in your heart. It's what you are. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, if you haven't been changed, if you haven't had that work done in your life, the original default was sin. God came to change that default system. The original one was holiness, and sin came in, and now our default is sin. And if you don't have the Lord in your life, you're going to default to it. Because that's what the flesh is. When we start giving in to the flesh, it'll take you to sin, it'll take you to ungodliness, and the Lord says, you're none of mine. If you do that, you've got to have a Spirit of Christ. You have to have a heart and a mind that follow the Lord and have good things in your life. Why would you want to have a business that isn't under that umbrella of God? I don't want no business. Don't give me no business. I don't want any other business that has to be outside of the Spirit of Christ. I got to act like the Spirit of Christ in any of my dealings. So now I'm going to deal with you, and if you come to me to deal with me, you're going to have to deal with Jesus. You're going to have to deal with Jesus about it, because I can't lie, cheat, connive. I can't take advantage of you. I've got to give you a price worthy of what that is. That's Bible. That's the Bible. I can't know that you have something that's more valuable than you think it is, and me take it from you at a cheap price, me knowing that you have something that's valuable. I got to tell you that that's valuable, and I'll give you a fair price for it. Why? Because that's right. And the Bible teaches it. And our motivation. What's motivating us? Because if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. What an awful thought to come down to the end of it and find out that I did my religious duties. I preach on Sundays. Y'all know I come here. You might not think it's any good, but I try. I come and I do what I have to do. I come to Wednesday night service. I try to be faithful to things. You know, if I don't have the Spirit of Christ, I'm none of His. You don't have the Spirit of Christ, you've wasted your time. Lord, help us that we have the Spirit of Christ. Over in the 5th chapter of Matthew, gives us a pretty good depiction of Jesus. 43rd verse says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said." I'm going to back up just a little bit on that. 38th verse. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compare thee to go a mile, go with him twain." There's a guy over in Webster told me one time, he was a religious fella. We talked quite a bit, and he said, "Marty, somebody's been stealing my gas nights. Coming down here. I know who it is." He said, "I know who it is." He said, I sat out there last night with my shotgun. And he said, if he'd have come to get gas last night, he'd have got more than he thought he'd get. Well, listen, folks, I know there's all kind of ways of thinking about things. But you know what? I just can't get away from the idea that the Bible means something. And the Word of God is important. And I thought, if thy brother come and take thy coat, give him his cloak. If he compels you to go a mile, go with him twain. If he steals your gas, shoot him. I don't know. It don't fit to me. Let me try it this way. And if he steals your gas, get him a gas and take it to him. And say, listen, sin's bad. Stealing's bad. Use him some gas, but don't go to hell over it. How about that? how about that? We're not brute beasts. And we can tell who we are. by whether we have the Spirit of Christ or not. Am I concerned with the soul or am I concerned with my gas? And if I blast him into eternity, I may have a right to do it, but he's going to go to hell. And is that what I want? Jesus ain't what he wants. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not what Jesus wants. Jesus wants them to repent. And he loves them to do it. And if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. So it challenges me. Lord, what am I doing? Is my gauge right? Am I plugged to full here? Do I have the Spirit of Christ? Am I looking at it the right way? Lord, help me. I know I have the flesh. I know this old flesh wants pampered. I'll tell you that. This old flesh wants everything its way. I'll tell you that. But the Scripture says you need to put that to death. And not live at the flesh. The flesh is death. But the Spirit is life and peace. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that was... Hey, these aren't my words. You can't say Brother Marty's saying something strange here. It ain't. This is the Word of God. Give it to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it hath been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Is it possible? Or am I saying something out line? Maybe in your mind, in your life, it's been way too much. Maybe it's way out there to say that somebody can do something like that and I have to be somehow something I can't be. But I'll give you a few examples. I told them before, but they was told on the news. There was a woman over in one of the Arabic countries, the Muslim countries. She was a Christian lady and following the ways of Christianity. That's a big offense to them. And they took her and it was over the fact that she didn't have the veil, I think, over her head as they said she should. So they took acid and threw it in this young woman's face and destroyed her face. And they ended up being captured by the law of the... And they were prosecuted for it, and their law was that she had the right. They gave her the acid. And she now is standing on the other end of the acid to pour the acid in the guy's face that poured it in hers. You sisters know that it's a little bit more important most of the time to the lady's appearance than what it is the men's. And it would be an awful thing to be a young woman that couldn't really face public for the rest of her life because of how horrible her face looked. And what they took from her was hideous. And I say it was awful. It puts a pit in my stomach to think that somebody could be done that way. But this Christian woman had the Spirit of Christ. And when she had the opportunity to pour it in his face, she sets it down and said, I love you. Jesus loves you. She wouldn't do it because of the Spirit of Christ. Another thing comes to my mind. I remember hearing of a woman whose a man abducted her young daughter and abused her and killed her. And he was caught, brought to the judgment, found guilty of it, and was facing the death penalty over it. And she had a right as a mother of that girl that she lost, her only daughter. You mothers, think of this one. Her only daughter that she loved and cherished. He took her violently from it. She suffered pain and all the abuse and died. And she had a right to face him and tell him what she thought. And she faced him and said, I forgive you. God loves you and wants to save you. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. You're not his. What makes us his is his Spirit. Because all we are in ourselves is our flesh. You don't want this flesh. You don't want it. You don't want to live with it. You don't want it. It isn't faithful. But the Spirit of Christ. Our highest and most noblest goals is to be like Jesus in his Spirit. The Spirit of God. I love you and you can't make me not. I could say you try it, but I don't want you to. But I love you and you can't make me not love you. Not while I've got the Spirit of Christ. I want to have the Spirit of Christ and love you no matter what you do. It ain't about that. It's about what I have inside me. I can love the vilest of them because of the Spirit of Christ. The movement, the motion, the mind. Let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus. Who humbled himself. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about the Lord. This scripture goes on. But I say, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be, listen to this, that you might be the children of your Father. You know what that's saying? I want to explain to you what that's saying. It's basically saying the same thing, that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. You're not His. This is saying that you might be the children of your Father. If you all knew my dad very, very well, you could say, I mean, I look in the mirror sometimes and say, oh, I'm looking just like my dad. I'll make expressions just like my dad. I have a right to. He's my dad. I grew up with him. Genetically, I've got my dad. I'm my dad. You know what this is saying? That you could be the children of your Father. There's going to be an image of your Father. You're going to be known as your Father. Jesus is the Son of God. And you're a son of God. And the image is showing. The family resemblance is there. Not in the flesh. It's not about the flesh. The family resemblance is in your spirit. You're showing your family resemblance. Now out in the upper northwest, there is what they call salmon runs up there. And those streams that come off, I think there is some Atlantic run salmon. I know there are some lake bound salmon. But these are the Pacific run salmon. Now, I want to tell you the life cycle of a salmon. A salmon is hatched in the mountain streams. The egg is hatched and they make a long journey out of those mountains, out of those streams, all the way to the Atlantic or to the Pacific Ocean. Big ocean, folks. Big ocean. A lot of territory. They get out there and they start growing in the ocean. And they live out there for 3 years till they mature. In the great big Pacific Ocean. And those that study that, I'm going to tell you, those that study that says that they will not go up a strange stream. They will not. There's a lot of them come out of there. But if that, when that thing was hatched, now you may say, how do they know? And I'll give up on you. God put it in there. But those that study it say they will not go up a strange stream. They go up the same stream they come down out of. And it's the old, same old pattern that what his daddy had, he has. What they've shown generation after generation after generation is the same. They make the same track. They have the same goal, the same purpose. They go to the same place. They are the same lineage. They're the same thing. You do these things that you might be. You have this spirit that you might be children of your Father. Is there anybody that you'd like to shut off the sunshine for a little while on? Is anybody that you'd really like to just show a good lesson and turn the rain off for a while? God don't. He said He left the rain, that you could be the children of your Father who reigns on the just and the unjust. Who lets His Son to bless everybody. That you might be this and have this Spirit. Lord, give us Your Spirit. Help me to have that Spirit of Christ. Do you remember when the disciples come and they said there was some people that was against them, and so the disciples said to the Lord, said, do you want us to call fire down? These disciples, they were so carnal. They were so carnal. They're just like us. They were just so carnal. Until they got some experience and got the Lord in their hearts, they is just a carnal bunch of people. Said, you want us to call fire down from heaven? And Jesus said, You know not what spirit you're of. You're of a carnal, natural spirit. When you, he said, I didn't come to destroy them. You're the one to call fire down on. I didn't come to destroy them. I come that they might be saved. Folks, listen, whoever you meet, whatever they do, wherever they're at, they're just a poor, broken soul that Jesus came to give His life for, and He wants disciples. He wants ambassadors of His cause that can go beyond the carnalities of life to present a pure gospel and show them that they're loved anyway. That God came to forgive them, not bring down fire on them. You don't know what spirit you're of. The Spirit of Christ is forever seeking the lost soul. The Spirit of Christ wants everybody to be saved. Too many people too critical. Too many people too critical about everybody. Well, there's things that's wrong. You be critical about wrong things. But not to the point that you're dismissing them. Jesus didn't dismiss me. Jesus has a lot of calls to dismiss me, but He didn't dismiss me. Thank God. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. I want to be a child of the Father. Another scripture in the 13th of Matthew. How far and how willing are you willing to be a chip off the old block? You want to be daddy's? You want to be daddy's child? You want to be a child of God? You want to have the Spirit of Christ. Over here in Matthew 13, 13 and 33 says, another parable spake He unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. This has been a very challenging scripture to me over the years because it seems to be saying, I know some of you, I know Sister Shirley has, probably most of you women have in some way or another, dealt with bread starters. You ever deal with bread starters, yeast thing? The idea here is that if you have meal and you add water to it, the only thing it affects is what it touches. If the water don't touch it all don't get wet. But yeast isn't like that. You put yeast into a lump, you just give it time. If you can have patience and give it time, there'll be a time come when the whole lump is just like what you put in it. And the idea here is that the kingdom of heaven is that way. There's no experience that you get it all at once. Do you know that? This is a work in progress. But how far into the lump are you willing to let this go? If you could pinch off a little bit of Jesus and put it in there, the idea is that when Jesus is put in there, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. It ain't like water. Water only affects what it touches. Leaven's alive. It's a growing thing. There's a life in it. And it grows and grows until its whole work is completely done on every place, so that when a Christian, I'm saying a true Christian, when a true Christian is pinched anywhere, you come away with Christ. If you pinch me here in service, I hope I have grace enough that you come away with Jesus. But that's, we want to have enough personal fortitude to be able to show ourselves in a holy way when we're in a holy place. But this ain't like that. It doesn't have its limitations to your business. It doesn't have its limitations, brother, when you're down on the creek bank fishing. Somebody takes your spot. I had a guy up on the Greenbrier one time. I was catching fish. It was nine guys around the hole, and I went up on the bridge and looked down, and I saw the fish, and there wasn't nobody catching anything. And I looked down there, and as soon as I seen the fish down there, I thought, I can catch them fish with my black trout magnet. I know I can. And I flipped that thing out there, and boy, I come with one. They was looking. I went and done it again. Got me another one. Got up there the second time. There's a young fella got up, and he got up right beside me. We was almost touching shoulders, and he is watching me. And I got the third one, and when I come back, he was standing right in my spot. I just blessed him. Went on. Yeah. Hey, listen, pitch it wherever you get it. It should come away Jesus. If it's been put in there, it's like leaven. I'm going to tell you, leaven won't work all the time. You put it in the freezer, you'll stop it. You bake it, you'll stop it. There's conditions that you can hinder leaven in. You can dry it out too much, it won't work. You can alter it, get it too cold, cool. You can alter it, but where your heart is, you can alter how far it goes. But I want to say today, the Lord is interested in His life and His Spirit fulfilling our lives, and until you go to the post office, the phone call that's bad news, the neighbor that accuses you of something, the person that drives in down there. Oh, this is so funny. Mornington one time, we went to one of their deals and the whole place was full. No place to park. And I pull up and somebody's backing out. And I thought, I got me a parking spot. And they backed out. And as they backed out, a car come around the turn and pulled in. I was just right, and went right in, and I was like, get a little Jesus. Lord bless you. You got your parking spot. Well, give me the parking spot. I said, last week, Brother Leslie was about that. He said, I park in the back so I can give him people in front that can't walk as much as me. I said, I can get along. I park on back here and leave the spots up there that Brother Leslie had in mind. Oh, he said, you don't complain about them truckers. Them truckers brings our food in and our gas. And he said, I bless the truckers. Said, I watch out for them and let them go. Brother Leslie had a good heart for the Lord. He was always thinking about other people, always thinking about the Spirit that he had. Lord, help us. Because if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you gauge it. I'm not going to gauge it for you. But there's a gauge that you and I ought to pay attention to. Lord, do I have the Spirit that you have? Do I have the same care that you have? Have I allowed this little precious lump that was put into my heart, have I allowed it to go to the full extent of my life? That you can touch me any place and you come away with a reaction of the Spirit of Christ? That's a challenging question in a day and time to where it is so... the world is so given to the flesh. Where is so much out there in the entertainments and everything? This is the flesh, flesh, flesh. But in this day and time, do you have the Spirit of Christ? I want to challenge you today with this thought as you go through this next week to have a kind of a monitor on your life and ask the Lord, Lord, am I feeling up to this? I don't want to be. I want to be in the family. I want the Lord to be able to count me in on one of them. I want to be able to say, because that's pretty plain scripture. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not His. Because what makes you His is that you have the Spirit of Christ. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.